Hey, Agility Addicts, before we drop into our episode, I wanted to take a quick second here to mention Cody's Creations, one of our fabulous sponsors. Cody's Creations, or Carrie Beck, the creator of Cody's Creations, is a local collar maker out of Massachusetts, but she is nationally recognized and ships nationally. My collars that my dogs wear at Agility Trials have received lots of compliments, and I just wanted to share where I got them from. And as you know, Michelle and I, not only are we huge fans of Cody's Creations, but we don't have a lot of pennies to rub together. Cody's Creations creates custom-designed collars, leashes, and harnesses without breaking the bank. I can't tell you how amazing her products are, and I highly recommend that you go check her website out. It's CodysCreations.com. That will take you right to her Etsy page. Check out her products. You can also email her and ask her for any specifics. I have over 25 products from Cody's Creations. Michelle, probably more. She has a few more dogs than me. And they're just fabulous. She does biothane. She does nylon leashes, customized leather. It's just incredible. So really check her out. Little bow ties if you've got a pregnancy announcement or just want to make your dog look cute, treat totes, you name it, she's got it. So check her out. She supports us. We want you guys to support her. And best of all, you can do so by getting 15% off by using the code STARTLINE at CodysCreations.com. And now I'd like to welcome you to our next episode. Thanks so much.
Are you ready?
Steady. Welcome.
Every journey is different, but they all start with the start line.
We're here to edutain you about the world of dog agility. The sport has changed rapidly in just the few years we have.
Join us as we discuss our journeys, share our successes, laughs, and failures.
We will be joined by special guests, and our hope is for you to help us grow the sport we love. Episode 18.
Hey guys, it's Michelle. And today we have a very special guest on the podcast with us, Andy Hartman, who is the vice president of USDAA. And today we're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about the USDAA at home program and different things that you can do with your dog at home in lieu of going to. So, Andy, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle and Kara. It's nice to spend some time with you too. And looking forward to talking about the USDA at home program for both agility and rally obedience.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to jump in really quickly and just advise our listeners to check out more information about the at home on the Fenzi Sports Dog Academy podcast that Andy just did. We're going to ask some different questions and dive a little bit deeper into the program because I was fascinated to learn about this. You know, Michelle and I always want to educate you about what's going on in the agility arena. And we are thrilled to have Andy here because it's like the point contact person to go to. And we have a chance to answer a lot of questions that we have. And we actually polled you guys this weekend. So hopefully we're covering what you want.
Yeah. Right. So, and I will say we're actually coming from two totally different perspectives where I have competed in USDAA. I have been a part of the USDAA at home program. Kara has not.
Because of the contacts. I can barely get in 42. but we'll discuss that. So I am excited to learn more and actually start to compete in USDAA because I, as you guys know, I dabbled in some UKI, and I'm just always interested in learning more about how different organizations run things and how different organizations bring agility to us. And USDAA has always intrigued me because it is the pioneer. It brought it to the United States and really is the history. AKC was built off of it. So we really owe some honor to the USDAA. So we're excited to bring that to you. All right. Yeah. So let's dive into some questions here. to learn more about Andy too. He's fascinating. He actually was the director of the AKC Agility for a bit. So he's got a fascinating bio. You can learn that. Again, we want to share Fenzi too. This is not a, you know, listen to us, don't listen to Fenzi. We love Fenzi. You know, I fangirl them all the time, especially Julie Daniels. So check that podcast out. We'll probably put a link in our show notes. But we want to jump right in and ask Andy some questions while we are so grateful to have his time. He's coming to us from North Carolina. So thankfully, we're all on the same time zone because, you know, any later could be worse for Michelle and I since I fall asleep at like 9 o'clock. But all right. So I just want to start off. Let's say I am brand new. I know that I go onto the site and I register and I get access to these courses, but what class do I start with? How do I know I've registered my dog? I've kind of navigated the website. What do I do then? That I download, I guess, a starter's course or help me out there?
Well, you know, if you're new to USD, go in, you're going to register your dog. You're going to go to usda.com/at-home. And you're going to put in your email address and one of your dog's registration numbers, and boom, up's going to come your dashboard, and we're going to welcome you. And you're going to be able to go and look at the event requirements for the different events that are open for enrollment. Something to think about ahead of time is how big is your yard, because we offer events in different ring sizes, 40 by 60, 50 by 60, 50 by 70, 60 by 80. And we allow people to make, in quotes, air quotes, slight adjustments to the course to fit it into their yard, because everyone's yard is a little bit different. And, you know, sometimes people will ask, well, you know, how much can I adjust the course? And you'll be okay as long as you keep the same flow and the challenges of the course intact. You should be okay.
So I had a quick question. I know one of my instructors was so graciously offering her facility to allow at home. Is that something that is encouraged? And if so, do they have to stay within the parameters or can they go 100 by 100? Are there those options or they just have the sizes that you listed so that the instructors have to stay within that?
Right now, Kara, we're just offering the events in those 40 by 60, 50 by 60, 50 by 70, and 60 by 80. But we do have a number of groups that are offering this on their fields, training facilities that are offering it and setting them up so that people can come to that facility who might not have all the equipment or might not have a large backyard and can participate safely. You know, people are social distancing and masking and washing their hands often. So,
yeah, because I'm one of those people that does not have a lot of equipment. I do have a decent sized yard, but for some reason, agility in my backyard and I have never come together. So our friend, not only my instructor, but also our friend Paula Recco, who's very active in USDAA, she has a beautiful horse barn with packed sand, and she's offered people to come, you know, in small groups and run the USDAA at home program. And she's actually one of the resources I lent to find out more questions that we should be asking you. So thanks, Paula, for all of your insight into USDAA, because I know that she loves it. She loves it. So.
And I think it is really neat that people are sharing their backyard or sharing their facility with others so that people can participate in the program. So some good stories out there.
All right. And I know you mentioned this to us before, but I just want our audience to know. So how do I know if I'm brand new, what height to jump my dog?
Well, so if you haven't had your dog measured, what we do is we ask you to do the best you can to measure your dog's height at the withers. And then based on that withers measurement, jump your dog at one of the heights it would be eligible for based on the withers measurement. So, and you know what, you're going to jump. Eventually, you're going to get measured at a regular trial. And if that measurement changes, you're not going to lose the cues that you've earned up to that point. Right. So you may have to jump down. You may have to jump up. You know, just depends. But you will never lose those cues.
All right. And then one last question from me, because sorry, I know I'm taking over, but Michelle's got a bunch too. So I think I know the answer to this, but I just want our audience to know too. UKI, when you register a dog that's, say, in master's level AKC, allows you to transfer over. USA does not have anything similar, correct? You have to start
Right. Starting. You're gonna start starters. One of the things we do let you do is you can actually enter an event at several different levels, like starters, advanced, masters, if you wanted to. And you keep all the cues. You never lose a cue with USDAA.
That's cool.
So let's say for whatever reason you didn't cue in the starters, but you cued in the advanced. Once you get the preliminary cues and starters, your advanced cues will be there and fall right in place. So.
That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, AKC is not like that. So basically, if you accidentally, some people do this, they move up to a level they thought they were in, they weren't technically in it. AKC takes those cues away. So that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's nice. It's a bit more fair. It's like, oops, I entered above my level, but once I get these titles and these other ones, then I can catch up and they'll be sitting there. So that's...
Well, what else happens is, you know, you may get done with what you think is your third standard leg, but you're not sure because it hasn't been judged yet. Well, don't let that stop you from going up to the next level. Go ahead and enter the next level. Again, worst case scenario is, oop, you didn't get your third leg. You can drop back and pick it up at any time, but any higher level cues you've earned are going to be there for you. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I was actually, so I know I told you before we started recording, but I just recently last night ran a pairs run with a classmate of mine. And we were like, okay, if we have enough time, we could probably set up our next one that we're registered for. And I was like, oh, but wait, I have, so for Sirius, he needs one pairs, but he still needs a gamblers and a snooker in P2 before he can get his P2 title. So I was like, okay, well, if we run both pairs, is that second pair is going to count towards P2 or P3? And she's like, no, I think it might count towards P3. So that's really cool to know that, like, okay, you know, because obviously when you're doing pairs, unless you're running two dogs from the same household, you're going somewhere or you can't always coordinate things. So it's kind of nice that if you're registered for two events that kind of overlap, that you would be able to use that for your next level.
So the combined relay is a cue, and the programming is such that it knows how to apply that cue, whether it fills what would have been a starter's cue or an advanced cue or a master's cue. So that falls into place.
Yeah. So actually, since we're talking about relay, this is the newest addition to the USDA at home program. I think, what are we on, the third week of it?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth week. And so let's talk a little bit about it, because I know a lot of people were asking about it before it came on. So I'm sure there was a high demand. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were needing that last, you know, combined relay queue in order to advance up on some of their titles. Let's talk a little bit how you handle pairs. Like how does it work? What are the kind of the rules for it? You know, those kind of things, because it's relatively new to the program.
So, you know, you're gonna go and sign up for combined relay. You're gonna have a partner. They're gonna sign up, and then you guys are gonna go and run the event. And you know, the briefing will be there for you. It'll tell you what the baton exchange is. So, the current running, the second dog cannot go over their first jump until the first dog has gotten up on the table with all 4 feet, and then you can go. The dog getting up with all 4 feet on the table is the baton exchange, if you will, for that event. So you run it, you time it, you film it, and then you're going to go and submit your results. And whoever submits the results first, a lot of the information when the second person comes is going to automatically be filled in, because we link the two together, if you will. So
yeah, that's smart. I love that. This is my first pairs. So my classmate last night was like, yeah, no, if I submit it first with the video and everything, you just submit your, you know, the partner and then the jump height. And I was like, oh, that's right. Great.
Yeah, there's no sense in having multiple videos. It would make it harder for our judges to judge, actually. So
right. So now if you have two dogs from the same household, so like if I want to run Riley and Sirius in pairs together, is that something we can do if I get, let's just say, my husband to run the other dog?
Yeah. In fact, does your husband do agility on a regular basis?
He's learning. he's training his first agility dog now, which is our boxer, which is bred by Kara. So
it's a challenge, though. Yeah. I always say running a boxer is like running a clown, taming a clown.
You know, Michelle, in that case, it might even be like a little bonus to have your husband run the dog.
Oh, yeah.
An interesting video.
No, yeah,
in all seriousness, you can run both your dogs in the household. You just need to have somebody else run the dog. And we'd love to have your husband join you in the sport of agility because it's a nice thing to share with your spouse.
I would love to have my husband join in the nice sport of agility, too. I tried. It didn't work. He's into nose work.
I think once my husband gets more involved with agility, I think her husband will follow.
Well, maybe if he does some at home with Gilly and she's successful and he gets cues without, because Gilly, we know, is environmentally stressful. She does the zoomies.
Yeah, she's in the zoomie stage right now. She's only two, so her brain has a lot
to go.
A lot of growing left to do.
My dogs mature slowly. But that's a good point, though. He could really try it with her, and you don't have the hoopla of the trial. You don't have a new environment. It's your backyard. Right. So that's something to consider. I bet you could get some cues with her on that.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know what? And it's interesting that when I started doing at home, I was like, oh, this will be great. This will be easy. You know, no stress, this. But as soon as I set up my camera and I start pressing record, I'm like, oh, I feel the pressure now. And it's weird because I still feel some of that similar trial pressure from myself. So it's actually very interesting. I didn't expect that at all, but I definitely noticed that. I'm like, oh, wow. And I know you can repeat and, you know, if something goes wrong, you stop and then you try again. But still, that pressure was there. And it's definitely, contrary to what people believe, doing stuff at home is not as easy as it seems.
No, I would agree with that full-heartedly. I actually do better at trials than I do at home. And I noticed that I did some of the rally at home through AKC, but I was interested. Andy, you said you guys have, so is the at-home website for agility, rally, and obedience as well, or are those separate?
It's rally obedience, so it's rally and agility, not just obedience. But, yeah, you can go there and you'll see, you can pick which discipline you want, whether it be dog agility or rally, and you can go in and look at all the events and Ann Allums in her office handles all the rally events and
that's give it a cool.
That's another nice thing you can do in your backyard.
It's wonderful. Yeah, so I had a quick question. I actually brought this up. I ran into Al from Max 200 this weekend, and I said, hey, how are you guys doing? He's like, oh, COVID, you know, it's tough with all these events being canceled. And he provides a lot of the equipment for a lot of our trials, particularly our two-ring trials, our Thanksgiving cluster, that was canceled. And I know, Andy, you were saying he does it for Sinosport. So that's awesome. Yeah. So I was talking to Al, and I said, well, Al, people need to know where to get equipment because I, for example, don't have enough wing jumps. And I know USDAA uses a lot of wing jumps heavily. And he said, oh, he's got inexpensive wing jumps. And he had some questions for me to ask of you. And it was a good question, too. Because we're doing these smaller courses, do you recommend or do you allow 4-foot bars or are you requiring 5-foot? Do you require the you know?
We allow 4-foot bars just for that reason. And some people are, you know, their training equipment in their backyard is 4-foot bars. We also allow people to use winged and non-winged jumps interchangeably. And if you go to at home, the dashboard, we've got an FAQ page that shows you the substitutions that we allow for the equipment.
Perfect. So, that's super helpful.
Yeah, I know. I like that on some of the maps, we'll say, like, okay, if you don't have an A-frame accessible to you, you can substitute with, like, a teeter or, you know, vice versa with, like, a tire and a jump. So that's really nice.
Yeah, or if there's two tunnels, a lot of times we'll say, hey, you can substitute this tunnel with a jump. Because we realize, you know, a lot of people might have one tunnel, but there's a lot of people that don't have two tunnels. So, you know, we want to get this so that as many people can participate as possible and enjoy it. And I just wanted to say, Al and Irene, they do a great job.
They're the best. Yeah.
Good folks.
They're really good folks. These really good equipment. It's really reasonably priced. I've started pre-COVID and a little bit after COVID, I started to travel a little bit to do some trials. And, you know, I've seen different companies and I guess I get spoiled with having Max 200, but I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice to have. And plus, Al's just such a nice guy and Peach and Pitt. And, you know, it's always fun to to watch. And we're actually rooting for Al because he's got, I think, five more fast classes to get for his really big championship in AKC with Peach. And I run next to Peach because she's in the same class. It's just, they're wonderful people. So
yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then I have another question here too. Sure. So because you guys are so amazing about providing opportunities for so many, one of the things that you brought up a little bit, I believe in the Fenzy podcast too, was this is a great opportunity for reactive dogs, for shy dogs, for dogs that shut down in trials, for dogs you have no idea how they're going to do. And that's so kind of liberating and uplifting. Michelle and I are trying to bring new people into the sport. We look around and Michelle and I are not spring chickens, and for us to be some of the youngest in the sport, we're like, wait a minute, this is a sport, this is athleticism. It's wonderful that we've captured a little bit of an older crowd, but where are the young people? And so there's so many people home with dogs right now, so many. So, you know, it's awesome that you're giving them, and a lot of people rescue dogs that just a trial environment. It's hard. I come from a little bit of the confirmation world, and there are dogs that can't even handle that. And that's much less stressful standing in the ring than actually performing. So I think it's fascinating if you wanted to talk about the types of dogs that this is really, you know, any current exhibitor, welcome. But also the doors that the at-home program really opens for others.
You know, at home, you talk about aggressive dogs. So people can now trial that dog in their backyard, timid dogs. Let's face it, we have timid people, right? We have people that aren't comfortable in large crowds who can now go and enjoy the sport in their backyard. So at home fills a lot of voids that exist out there right now.
Yeah, it's great. And I actually, so towards the end here, I've gathered some feedback. So I made a little Facebook post saying like, hey, we are going to be doing this interview. Does anybody have any questions specifically that they want to know about this program? And I'll read you one of the comments that I got from a friend of mine who has the same breed. She has Tollers as well. And she's a veterinarian. So veterinarians in COVID times right now are extra busy. They're dealing with a lot more business because everybody just went out and got a puppy. But they're also doing curbside service, which adds an extra strain onto their day. And I know this because my husband's a vet as well. So
he's my vet. He's the best vet.
So she doesn't have as much time available to her. But one thing that she really wanted you and everybody at USCA to know is she loves being able to do the courses and compete on her own time. It's very helpful for her. She can come home from work, set up a course, run her dog, record it, and be done. She doesn't have to worry about the travel plans, the extra cost of going to the actual event, and all that stress that comes along with it. So her biggest question was really, how long is this going to happen for? And I know you touched a little bit about this on the FDCA podcast, but how long are we planning on keeping USDA at home for?
Well, I think USDA at home, it will be with us in the future in some form or one way or the other. You know, we're very mindful. We don't want to cannibalize events to our local trials, our local for our groups. So I think as we get back to a normal, whenever that is, and you know, I don't think that's going to happen. Probably going to be in 2021. Then I think the at-home program, there'll be modifications, I'm sure, and I could see it becoming its own program, if you will, where when you compete at home, you're competing for at-home titles, and then it could get its own title structure. But again, I'm just speculating. We'll know more as we get closer, but I would anticipate that there would be some modifications. Although I've had a couple of clubs who have said, hey, please don't change it, because we're getting all kinds of new people coming and trying out USDAA, and they expect they're going to have more people at their local trials because of it. But there's a need, aggressive dogs, timid dogs, people. There's a lot of people that don't live close to trials. You know, they have to travel 5-6 hours to a trial. And again, at home allows them to do this in their backyard. And we're not trying to mimic the trial, a trial itself. You know, titling is all about skill sets. And so when we design courses, a lot of times the first module will be a training session for a particular skill set. And then the second module will be more of a course where you could implement that skill set, if you will. So it gives people a chance to hone their skills and to see, you know, what skills do they need to work on a little bit more and what skills are they doing really well in.
Yeah, I really found that very interesting, especially there was one snooker, I think, that I had done that it was a serpentine challenge where you send your dog to through a serpentine.
I love serps.
I know, this was actually really fun.
Serpentipitous.
And actually my husband did, when he saw me setting this up and trying to run it, and he was like, oh, I'm going to do that with Gilly. So he grabbed his dog, and he wasn't even entered, but he was like, oh, that's a really cool challenge to try. So it was a serpentine and then sending out to a jump from behind that line of serpentine jumps. So it was like a distance and a serpentine challenge. And I thought that was really cool. And then I think Gamblers that I had recently done was you had to stand into the handler area and send your dog in a loop. And I think it was like 7 obstacles, and you had to stay behind this certain distance and navigate your dog through the course. And I have to say, it was a challenge for Sirius, because he's kind of like mama's boy. So we did eventually get it done, but it was a nice challenge. It was a nice thing to kind of focus on. So I love that you guys do that in the separate modules.
Well, you know, USDA is all about standards. And when Ken developed the program, he had a vision for it. And there's always a reason and philosophy behind what we do. And so keeping with standards, we realize that if this wasn't challenging, if it wasn't meaningful, people would get bored with it and do something else. So, you know, we throw some things out there that you wouldn't see at a regular event where you're going to run the course for the first time and be judged on it. So we take some liberties with the course design and the skill sets that we test. And it's been meeting with approval. People have seemed to enjoy it. I hear a lot of people who feel like they've really earned that title and cue when they're done, because it wasn't a walk in the park. It took more than most people expected. So,
right. I have definitely taken more than just one night's worth of attempting to get some of my cues. So I would agree with that.
I'm going to jump in here really quickly so we can take a quick commercial break.
Hey, Agility Addicts. I have a really cool sponsor to tell you guys about that I actually went after. Walter recently got his mock, well, I know, surprising, and I wanted to celebrate it with his fan club, and so I wanted to bring something special, and we all know mock cakes are kind of off the table right now. They're not very COVID-friendly, so I wanted something such as cookies, which could be individually wrapped. I checked with a bunch of local bakeries. They were booked way out. It wasn't, or they were prices that I was found a little pricey. So I looked online, and even though they're local to me, I found a really cool company called Wicked Good Cookies. Now in New England, wicked means very or super, and they live up to their name. They have $5 flat rate shipping nationwide. So whether you live in Tacoma, Washington, or Sarasota Springs, Florida, you can get these cookies for $5. If you live locally, or you're at a trial I'm going to, I'm happy to pick them up for you. They'll give you some extra cookies. But they've also done us a deal, because I explained to him all about, you know, agility and how we celebrate and mock cakes and how we need cookies instead and COVID safe. And for 15% off using the discount code STARTLINE, Wicked Good Cookies is honoring our discount, which is super cool. So please go check out wickedgoodcookies.com. You can also get them if you're local to New England through DoorDash, Grubhub. They're just in Boylston, Mass. 15% off your order. They can put anything you want on, picture-wise. These are great for kids going back to school. It's also wonderful for weddings, birthdays. You can't be there, you can send a box of cookies. But more specific to agility for your championships, or even just a great title, or just, hey, let's make agility fun again. Check out Wicked Good Cookies and use a discount code STARTLINE to save 15% today.
And we're back.
So since we talked a little bit about course design and challenges, let's talk about designing courses in general in such a small space. So how challenging is it to work with that, with the spacing that you guys are offering for the backyard purposes?
Well, let's say it makes you appreciate when you're designing on 100 by 100. it's a challenge because it's a smaller space. You don't want to crowd it. So, we encourage our judges to go ahead and repeat jumps numerous times so that we don't have to clutter the course with too many obstacles. We want them to still keep reasonable distances, and it becomes a little bit of a collaboration at times. You know, a number of people, there isn't just one person that looks at each course. We have several people that look at it, and because we want to try to put out the best course we can in these smaller rings. So
there's a lot of time and effort. I can attest to that difficulty. I used to teach in a 40 by 60, and I had to come up with new courses each week. And sometimes I do box work, and we do around the world, and I do, tunnel discriminations. And sometimes I would have just way too much equipment in that area. And it's definitely a new challenge. So kudos to the judges on that, because I know firsthand for my beginner class how difficult that was. I can only imagine for, higher levels.
Yeah, we've got a good group of people working on this. So, we're really thankful. And you know what? We get great feedback from our competitors, both positive and constructive, if you will. So, and when that comes back, we share both and let everyone know. So we value our customers' feedback.
I've heard mostly, I don't think I've actually, there was one pairs incident, but I haven't heard any really negative or constructive. It's really just been positivity, and people are thrilled to have it. And again, I'm getting this at, AKC events. I'm having people saying, oh, I did this at home, or my friends are posting online. Paula's really good about this, blah, 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 approved, and so excited. That's her master's title and all that. So I think it's intrigued me enough that we were like, we need to learn more about this, and we need to share this with more people. And we're so fortunate to have you on this podcast to be able to do that. So if we don't have to have contacts and there's some kind of jumpers course in there, I'm game. you know me, I love titles. So
check out jumpers, check out snooker.
Yeah, right? I'm going to go to Michelle's yard for that.
Yeah, I think snooker's a lot of fun.
No doubt. We are so thankful to all the competitors. This has really been a wonderful experience. It's just been really good for our competitors. It's been really good for us as an organization. We've learned a lot, and we continue to learn every week. Our goal is to make it a better program with every week, to improve little by little with each week. So, but we're so thankful for all of our competitors who have embraced the program and who support it, who send us the feedback. It really has been an uplifting experience, and I feel really privileged to be a part of this. It's been a team effort. Ken and Rachel and Ann Allums and myself, we've poured a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the program. We've gotten a lot of feedback from our competitors and our judges, and so it's just been good all around.
See, I think we just have a couple more questions. I know Michelle had one about super cues, and then I definitely want to wrap up with reading some of these comments that we got about the program, because they were, inspirational, and also from people that I respect, like Diane Patterson. So, Michelle, you want to talk about those super cues?
Yeah, so I think a popular question that we've both received questions on.
Andy laughs.
Is what about adding super cues for snooker? I mean, I can only imagine it's complicated to figure something like that out, but curious minds want to know.
Yeah, well, it comes again to standards, right? We are working on it, and I'm going to say stay tuned. I think you will see super cues, and it will be meaningful for you once we put them in place. But it's probably going to be just a little bit yet.
Yeah. So,
by the way, we've got the Fall Festival coming up.
That's right. Yeah. So I heard a little bit about this, and I actually haven't looked much into it recently, but if this is a perfect opportunity to talk about it.
Do elaborate, please.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, with with COVID, we felt we needed to cancel Senior Sport and the National Titling Championship. So then we put our heads together and said, hey, let's hold something for people based on the at-home program. So we've developed the Fall Festival. And so some of the things that will be different at the Fall Festival is you'll be able to compete in tournaments, which will help people get the tournament cues they need to fulfill some of the titling requirements. So I think people are going to find it exciting. They'll be able to do steeplechase, Grand Prix. There is a team equivalent event where you could earn the team cue you need. We're going to do biathlon. And in the biathlon, you'll be able to earn a biathlon cue. And you also have an opportunity to earn a Masters Challenge Standard and Jumpers cue.
Oh, nice.
And then we have our all-around tournament, which is going to be based on at three levels. It's going to be, so the tournaments are, for anyone who's new, tournaments anyone can enter with any dog. It's regardless of what your titling, where you stand with titling as far as levels. With the all-around, there'll be a starters, advanced, a masters, and a veterans, a separate veterans group. And it'll be standard agility, jumpers, snooker, and gamblers. And so you'll be able to earn regular titling cues if you successfully complete the two modules within the class type. And then there's also, you can go for the all around as well. So a lot of exciting stuff, and it's new, and we'll have more information coming out on it soon. There was an article in the overview last week. So
awesome. Yeah, that's definitely exciting because we actually just recently did an episode on championships for all the different organizations. So with these tournament cues, those can be applied towards those championships that we talked about in our other episode. So feel free to tune into that episode if you have not already to hear a little bit more about the requirements. But that's why we're asking about super cues and tournaments, and that's why that's super exciting because that can all apply towards it.
Oh, I see what you did there with super.
So just to let you know, people will be able to start signing up for the Fall Festival. We were hoping to do it tomorrow, but we're tweaking just a little bit of programming here at the last minute. So I'm going to say you'll be able to do it on the 2nd. So not tomorrow, but on Wednesday.
Oh, perfect.
That's cool. So yeah.
And there'll be more information that people can go and see. They can take a look at the event requirements, and we think people are going to have a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to it. The Fall Festival is going to run from September 24th, which is a Thursday, through November 9th, which is Monday.
Cool.
So one of the reasons why we did that, originally we were just going to do the month of October, but a lot of people are doing this stuff outside, and depending on where you live, you can run into some dicey weather in October.
Well, I heard you had somebody from Alaska.
Yeah. With a moose.
Yeah, with a moose in the background.
Moose in the background. That's wild. But
literally.
So we wanted to get a little extra time for people in case, you run into some weather challenges. So.
Yeah, we're from New England. We know all about weather challenges.
Yes, summer's over. It's literally fall now. Literally within a day. It was 90 one day and 70 the next. And now it's 50 in the mornings. I mean, here we are.
It could be summer tomorrow, though.
It could be summer tomorrow. Welcome to New England.
Yeah, so I think that's super exciting. So definitely check out the website for more information. I know I'm going to be signing up for that because my little boy Sirius here needs some of those.
I just need more titles. No, it'll be interesting to see how my dogs do. I like to get them on different surfaces. Paula's place is awesome. Michelle, I still have to run at your place. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, we want to wrap this up with some comments from some people because Michelle went out and asked about this. And instead of just getting questions, we got some comments about the USDAA program.
Yeah. So, I think I already read one, but another one that I got, and this one's from Diane Patterson. So, shout out to you, Diane. She says, I appreciate that the at-home indicates skills that are being tested in the modules. It helps me to be a bit more thoughtful in my walkthroughs and decisions. So we talked a little bit about skills. I definitely appreciate that as well. So thank you, Diane. I think that's an awesome comment.
It's very nice.
And then following along with Diane's comments, another fellow Toller owner and breeder, Rochelle Kurth, she had mentioned that I had gamblers working on around-the-clock weave entrances and jumpers working on pinwheels, etc., and she definitely appreciated that as well.
So, I mean, again, I'm not super familiar with USDAA, but I'm more and more intrigued as I hear all these people talking about it. Now I'm, you know, grateful to speak with Andy and kind of really get a better grasp on this in the Fenzi podcast so that we have options. Because, to be honest, you know, AKC, I love it, but with one of my dogs, I'm kind of coming to the end of what I can do there. And so it'd be nice to, you know, have other options to compete in. And also, you know, I always hear about people going to or participating in USDAA events. So it's nice that you're providing that option. You guys have clearly thought through the nitty-gritty details, and I can only imagine the amount of work that went into this. But in my private life or in my professional life, I really appreciate, I work with pet businesses and one of my jobs, I really appreciate those that are pivoting in the pandemic. I think we had a lot of options, and one of our options was to curl into a hole and just wait out the storm. And it's not, you know, I'm a busybody. I like to be doing stuff, and I don't do downtime well. And I really appreciate that USDAA has provided the ability for people, those starting out, to really be able to do this, because it's not, their barrier to entry is even lower than maybe entering the stress of a trial. And you've also opened up doors for reactive dogs, for timid people, and then the ability for us to continue on and be as normal as we can. So I really appreciate that, because you all know how I feel about the pandemic. So it's nice. I thank you so much, Andy, for your time. Thank you so much, USDAA and the whole organization, for putting on in the tremendous amount of effort to pivot and provide something. Because at the end of the day, we're agility addicts. We are. And we get itchy and uncomfortable if we don't have the opportunity to do agility. And you provided that for so many people. And I would imagine, just from my experience, that feedback has been more positive than anything. So I hope that stays true.
The feedback's been, it's really been humbling. I mean, it's been overwhelming, and people have been so gracious. And I mean, it inspires us to do all that we can. And that's why, we're just so thankful to everyone who's participating and supporting it and part of it. And, it just feels good that we all come together in the midst of this pandemic. And I feel like we're all supporting each other. And that's one of the things I like about agility. And so it just feels good to come together with everybody.
Oh, one last question.
I can't thank you enough. Yes, one more.
Are people allowed to share their runs, their videos on Facebook?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. I think yes. I've seen a few, but I'm surprised I've seen more about qualifying, being judged. Everybody's so excited, but.
Well, I shared Riley's. So a little bit of backstory on Riley. We have been competing in USDA for 5 or 6 years now, and she is in master standard, but needed a starter's jumper's cue to get her AD title, and I could not get that cue. Like, I could not. It was always either a knocked bar or the fact that USDAA doesn't have weave poles and jumpers. She's incredibly fast. I didn't have an opportunity to catch up to her. So it was a very challenging thing for us to go through. Because of USDAA at home, I was able to get that last starter's jumper's cue for her AD title, which, like I said, was 5 years or so in the making, and I shared that run. I guess I was super proud of it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, you guys are definitely spring chickens. I'm a lot closer to the tar pit than you guys are. You're way behind.
Yes, but we're still, in the grand scheme of things, not that young. So I would like to see, because I'm afraid if there's not anybody, you know, I'm representing the 40 class, Michelle's representing the 30 class. Where are the 20-year-olds that were like, oh, I could never catch her. No, I, you know, people are coming to me. I have a phone question. I'm like, why am I tech support? I'm 40 years old. So I, you know, I really want to encourage younger, you know, one of my life goals, if I won the lottery and could go about life for free and have my own agility facility, I would actually go to schools and educate children about, and this is something I want to talk to USDA about, and I've been talking about the collegiate program, is go to schools and really say, look, you've got a dog, it's capable, it's young, go to the vet, make sure it's healthy, get out there and have fun. Can we substitute this for some gym credits? Can we, I mean, it's such a great activity for people to do. It's social if you want to be social. If you're an introvert, it's perfect for the introvert. I think people, 64% or more of U.S. households own at least one dog. I mean, yep. Come on, do something with it. Have fun. I'm addicted to agility, not because I'm this competitive, you know, ribbon stocking person, which that's part of me, but I love to go out there with my dog and just watch her run around the course with mere, you know, gestures from my body. I'm communicating with my canine best friend. And so if we could get more people, I go to these private trains, I'm also a dog trainer, and I go to these private trains and I zero in on the, you know, 14 or 15 year old child that's there that begged their parents for 9 years to get the dog. They're the ones that are committed to, I just had it tonight. This wonderful Ava, she was 14 years old. They just got a little golden doodle and she was dedicated and her timing for the training for clicking was amazing. And it's her I want to be like, and I always mention how I do agility and they always get interested. So anyways, I just, at home is opening those doors for more people. Michelle and I are trying to open the doors. You're making it easier in a really tough time. And so I really wanted to focus on that. I'm really glad to bring you on here because I think more people need to know about it. Plus AKC people. I know some of our friends are having challenges with, they don't feel comfortable running with masks, or they don't feel comfortable running with other people that don't have masks on. They won't work ring crew. Wherever you stand, this is a safe alternative if you still want to do agility and still acquire titles and cues. So this, you can't get any safer than this. So...
You know, you talk about young people. We've got the Intercollegiate Dog Agility Association that we've developed, and it continues to grow. And the at-home program fits in perfect for that.
Yeah. You go away to college, you can come home and work on some runs, or you can come home for the weekend, or some people aren't even going away to college anymore because of COVID. But, you know, they're still doing virtual stuff. So, yeah, it opens the doors. It makes it so much easier for these students. Because that's one of the things, one of my puppies went to a wonderful home on the Cape, and they have a daughter, I think she was 14 or 15. And I said, this is great, but by the time this dog is actually competitive, your daughter's going to be heading off to college. What is your plan beyond that? And she's, you know, this is a great, at home, I mean, it didn't exist at the time, but
right.
Here you go.
Yeah, and a little bit of a teaser, perhaps. We are in the works of trying to get somebody from the USDA Intercollegiate Program on the podcast as well.
So. Yes, Stephanie Rayner has hooked us up with that. So that will be coming to you soon. We're in the planning.
I was going to suggest that we do that podcast down the road in the near future because I think you'd find it really interesting.
That's just my passion. I want more people to know about this sport, but I also want more people to consider trying it, even if they just train and never trial. Once a week, going to that classroom with your dog is just, it was the best hour of my life. And and now I go for like 4 hours a week. But it's just, if more people could experience that, and if I could see more dogs getting off of couches, and if I could, you know, it just, I work with so many dogs. I worked with a Valhund, a Swedish Valhund that one of our friends actually has, but this was a dog. He had to be switched homes, and he went into a wonderful family home, but this dog was, oh my gosh, his potential. And I was like, oh, would you ever consider an agility class? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I called my friend that has Valhoun. She's a veterinarian too. And I was like, this dog is amazing.
It doesn't take a lot for someone to get going. There's a lot of information there. You can make jumps, you know, homemade jumps very easily. And, you know, you can do a lot with one or two jumps in your backyard.
Yeah,
and
there's a kid at one of our training facilities that makes and sells jumps for relatively inexpensive. And he's like 16 or 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean, all my stuff started.
Kara, that's a spring chicken.
That's okay? A spring chicken, and he is doing agility, but he's literally one of maybe four people under 18 I've seen in the last 5 years. So I literally want to win the lottery so I can go around to schools and say, look, with COVID, it's very dangerous to have gyms right now. We don't need to be getting all sweaty together. So why don't you consider agility training classes and at home? So I just, you know, that's my dream world. Because I want to be the older person being like, can you help me with my phone? I want to be that person that's like, I don't know how to use the app. Because in the pandemic, we've had a great trial secretary that's been awesome about, she uses a Facebook page and she uses an app to let us know what's going on because we can't be in the building. And so we have to know who's running. And, you know, it's a challenge for all of us. And I just, again, I love and support anybody that's pivoting. USDAA, you're pivoting. Let's get this out to more people. Let's do this. You know, let's do this.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you so much for your time. You know, if we get swarmed with questions again, Agility Addicts, we always ask for your feedback, your questions, your comments, your concerns, your videos. We want to see your runs. So go ahead. If you've been judged and earned that cue, share it with us or not. You know, we want to see what you did. We want to see your backyard spaces. How creative are you guys getting? And we want to see your equipment. You know, don't forget Al at Max 200. You can easily get supplies there. He's East Coast bound. He's at most trials, and he's pretty easy to get stuff from. So, yeah.
All Michelle, Kara, right. Thank you so much for having me on the program. It's been my pleasure to sit and chat with you guys, and thank you for all you do. Hope everyone out there has a good evening.
You as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, Agility Addicts. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. As always, these episodes are produced by Michelle and me, and we are super grateful for Andy Hartman, the Vice President of USDAA, coming on this evening and sharing his valuable time with us about the at-home program. We'll be bringing you more about the intercollegiate program as well. But as always, we would love for you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And we would love to see your at home. No matter the organization, we want to see what you guys are doing. Post it on our Facebook page, tag us, share it. Let's really get out there and share what we are doing at home in our agility communities. Thanks so much, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your day, week, and be safe.